Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
All right, we were talking a little bit earlier about the Andre de Ruyter book. Mine has not arrived yet. It has been ordered. It hasn't arrived. I'm looking forward to reading it. Actually, I'm not. I'm dreading reading it, to be perfectly honest. I don't want to read it, but I think I have to read it, and I'm pretty sure I won't enjoy reading it. That said, I know that a number of people have been receiving a PDF version of it, and we've seen it before. I was trying to remember. We've had it before where people were doing this, and it's very problematic for the author, for the publishers, who obviously incur tremendous costs in getting a book to a publication. Well, what does that really mean? Waldo Steyn, executive in ENS Intellectual Property Practice. Waldo, very good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm well, thank you, Howard.
So it's obviously the problem is it's so easy to do. Right? It's so easy just to hit that forward button and send it to somebody to read if you've already received it. But the point of having this conversation is to discourage people from doing that. Can you take us through the legal aspects of this?
So, Howard, the legal aspect to discuss that is actually the easy part. And that is sort of the publishers would typically own the copyright in a work of this nature. And they would have gone through a process spending a tremendous amount of time with the author to create that particular work. They're taking a lot of risk on whether the selling and of that work is going to be commercially viable or profitable for them. And when we get to the hard legal point then, sort of when a person receives that PDF on the phone via WhatsApp, for example, or on his or her computer, and they open that actually constitutes the copying of the work itself. So that act itself, you as the user, that is a form of copyright infringement, because copying the work is one of the prohibited acts that only the owner of the work or the owner of the copyright in the work can actually perform.
Right.
But what we're seeing is this I almost want to call it a culture, but this forwarding of this work then to friends and families and people in a network. And that itself is a form of indirect copyright infringement potentially. So if I receive work like that and I forward it on, it is reasonable to expect that someone else owns the copyright in that work and that the work is or constitutes an infringement, so the one that I've received.
Right.
And by forwarding that on to other people, if I have that knowledge and if that process of forwarding on causes prejudice or harm to the copyright owner, that becomes another act of copyright infringement, and it is actually also a criminal offense under certain circumstances to do that.
The problem is, because, and I mentioned this in the intro, it's so easy to do that it's very difficult to control it. It kind of reminds me at one stage about music sharing and that type of thing, where the music industry itself had to start looking at different ways to deal with the artists, because no one was buying CDs, and it just became so almost impractical. And I'm not suggesting that books are on their way out. I really don't believe that for a minute. But how do we deal with this? Isn't there perhaps a better way for the industry to tackle it? And I don't mean it from a legal perspective, but obviously that will need to be taken into account.
So, Howard, I think I like your example with the music, and what we definitely have seen in the publishing industry is that where old publishing agreements wouldn't even have contemplated electronic versions of works, that those terms are now standard in those contracts, and the same thing with audiobooks, for example. So if I think about my own life, sort of, though I don't like reading electronic books, I do like listening to books because I spend a lot of time on the road. So that is a way in which industry is trying to adapt to the different way in which people consume these types of works. So books, basically. But as far as putting a stop to this sort of sharing and forwarding of infringing copies of works, that is definitely something that's much more difficult for the industry and authors generally to deal with. It has become, as you said a few times now, so easy to do it. And I think what maybe, if you'll allow me to venture into this territory, we have to look at ourselves as a society and say, well, if why is it okay to steal an author's work? Because that's what we're doing, if we forward it and consume it in this way. Why is it okay to do that? But the same person who would do this wouldn't walk into his local grocer and steal a trolley load of groceries. It would not even for a moment occur to them to do that. And that to me is quite telling, because I've seen people share this even with me. And then I think, but you would never go into a shop and steal. Why are you stealing in this way? And I think we need to go back to the principle of why do we have this law? It's there to protect the authors, but it's a property. It's someone's ownership that you are effectively taking away from them. And I think we kind of need to get the message out there. This is fake. And you're not being altruistic. You're not being a good neighbor by distributing the book to your friends. You're actually being a criminal.
So it's interesting. It reminds me of Dan Ariely. He does this experiment where I think he calls it the half-life of Coke. And what he does is he puts cans of Coke around a university to see how long it'll last on top of a fridge or whatever, or in a fridge. And then he does the same thing with the financial equivalent. So if it's $4 or $3, he puts that on the top of the fridge or whatever it would be. And what he sees is that the Coca-Cola disappears very, very quickly, but people don't take the money because they think, oh, no, that's wrong. But people will go into an office and steal, so to speak, the stationery, pens. We do, because we distance ourselves from, we have this cognitive dissonance where we remove ourselves from the financial value of what it is that we're stealing. When we see it in money, in dollar terms or rand terms, then we know, oh no, we would never steal. We don't think of ourselves like that. But we would forward a book, which effectively is the same thing, just a little bit removed from it.
That's a great example, and if I can share an example from my personal life, if you don't mind, in the community where I live, there was one individual who liked sharing magazines on WhatsApp. And one day I went to this guy and I said, listen, what you're doing is like going to the local supermarket, stealing a bucket load of groceries, and then coming back to our community and saying, listen, I've just robbed the store. Why didn't you come and pick up some stuff from my house? Because it's exactly the same thing. But if you think about it in those terms and you explain it like that, then people sort of think that, wait a minute, maybe what I'm doing isn't right. But in my mind, it's exactly the same thing.
Very, very interesting. It is 8:45. The message very, very clearly is don't do that. If you receive a book, somebody sends you a book in a PDF that you haven't paid for, just delete it. Don't, if you really want to read the book, go and read the book, go and buy it, and make sure that everybody gets compensated correctly along the way. Well, Steyn, who is the executive in ENS Africa's intellectual property practice. 8:45, I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.